Good evening, everybody. My name's Kristen, and I want to welcome you out to week 8 of our client education series. If you've been tuning in so far, you've learned all about the defensive strategies to building a solid foundation to your financial house. And tonight, we're introducing the offense. Our host this evening has over 35 years in the investment industry, and he educates people all over the country with his radio show and podcast, The Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour. From Nashville, Tennessee, here is Roy Matlock, Jr.
All right, Kristen, and we made it. Hey, I am running by the phone. I had some computer challenges, but you know what? You have to just keep it happening, and so I want to welcome all of you out tonight. We have a great program. This is the beginning of Session 7. And that is the offense. You know, in finance, it's kind of like in sports. If you've got one of two things, you can either be on the defense or the offense. But I've always believed that if you don't let the other team score, you can never lose. And so we've been working, if you've been listening in now for about the last 6 weeks, we've been talking about all the things that built up the defense. But now we're going to get fun. We're going to start talking about winning. We're going to start talking about that number that you want to get and how to go about doing it, because, you know, education is the key. I believe this, that when you have the right education, you can make the right decisions. And so over the next 6 weeks, you saw on our screen, we're going to be going through some incredible topics to help you make it happen when it comes to your money. And tonight we've got one of our as good a person as you could ever have going to be teaching. So the way this thing's going to work, we've got about three segments. And what's going to happen is I'm bringing up Arlie Larson. Now, Arlie is from Canada, and he's got a business all over Canada, all over the United States. But the one thing I want to tell you about Arlie is Arlie created the term, the FIN number. If you've been listening in, you've heard Arlie, we've talked about the FIN number. What is that? The financial independence number. It's the amount of money you need to have in order for you to be in a position to one day quit and never run out of money. And so what we're doing tonight is we're going to get to a chance to listen to the creator of the FIN number, who has helped helped literally hundreds of thousands of families through he himself and his business. And so directly from Canada, what we're going to do, I'm going to ring Arlie up. We're going to have three segments. I'm going to recap it. Get your notes out. It's going to be great. So let's talk to Arlie. Arlie's been around like me. We're old timers. Been around over 30 years in the business. So Arlie, you ready to roll?
Hey, we're ready to rock, Roy. Thank you very much. That is pretty awesome. And you know, it's amazing when you think about how fast the last 32 years are, just like that. You know, and we came into this business because a friend cared enough to talk to us about how we could finally realize financial independence for our family. And we were literally struggling financially like everybody else. And we were trying to save a little money, and it was a put and take account. And then we got into some investments where you're supposed to get rich quick, and it didn't happen. And so we were really at the bottom. And he came along, and a good friend of mine, and just said, hey, you know, you need to look at some of this material. And we started thinking about it, and it changed our entire life. And so I'm going to go through some of the steps again tonight. We don't have to sell you anything. You're not going to have to make a decision to buy anything. This is purely education. If you knew what you needed to do for your family, you would do it. And there would be no doubt in your mind that you would be able to really get this thing to the point where the next time a virus hits, or any kind of a market crash, or any kind of unemployment problems, you would be so prepared that it wouldn't be just a little bump in the road, and you wouldn't be worried at all. And I think a lot of people right now are sitting there worried about money. They don't know what to do. They're completely blown away. But I'll tell you what, when we're done tonight, hopefully you're going to have a feeling that you're starting to get control. If you get control of your money, guess what? Nobody's going to sell you anything. You don't have to be sold anything. You know what you're going to need. You might need a little help. And, you know, we're happy to help people, but we're not selling as much as we're educating, and people will make intelligent decisions about money. So I'm going to share my screen, and then hopefully we can get this presentation up and we can get it running. And, you know, you can start to see a little bit the way that we focused on doing these educational, client educational seminars. You know, we went through the rule of 72, you know, the time and consistency. You know, if you got a lot of time and you're consistent, you know, you don't need a lot of money. Becoming an owner, not a loaner. You know, how mutual funds work. We're going to talk about the investment spectrum, some investment choices, the allocation of your investments, target date, company retirement plans, retirement planning options, college plan options, all the things that you're sitting there today saying, oh, if I only knew, you know. Well, you're going to know after tonight. And, you know, a lot of people are out there, and they're more worried about their money than they are about getting the virus. And, you know, there's a lot of unrest and a lot of crazy stuff goes on in this world because people really don't have a great coach, and they don't have a great plan, and they're not educated. So what do you expect except a bit of chaos? And that's what we're seeing these days. So hopefully we can change that. So this is about fixing your finances and creating the offense, as Roy told you and explained. You know, we have the defense, and yes, you got to have a great defense, but you know, the fun part is taking the ball and running and getting a touchdown. And the offense is a lot of fun. If you do it right, it's exciting. And so hopefully we can educate you on the offense tonight. So how do we create an offense? I mean, the real question is, how do you create an offense so that at one point in your life, you just really love the way that you're handling your money and the way that you're becoming financially independent and you've got it under control? And you'll teach your children and your children will teach their children. So for generations, you won't have to be going through this money struggle. I grew up on a farm, a poor family. We never knew anything about money. Then I spent my first 20 years in the farm equipment business and again knew nothing about money until all of a sudden one day we didn't have any and we found out we'd been given some pretty bad advice. And so hopefully we can help you with some of these things tonight and you're going to enjoy this educational seminar. So there's five stages of your financial life. Really, the first one is accumulation. You know, saving for future goals. And you know, when you start out in life, there's so many things that you've got to plan for. You know, there's buying the house, there's the furniture, there's so many family goals that you say, well, I would love to be able to, you know, have this by this time. Well, you can do that. You can set your goals and you can actually stay on track and you will see those goals come into view and you'll reach those goals and you'll just realize that, wow, that's amazing. Family income, the other thing that, you know, you have to do as the kids come along, normally you got to protect your income, you know, and a lot of people call it life insurance and it's really death insurance. It's really disaster insurance because what happens is if you don't protect your income and something happens to the breadwinner, God forbid, or either partner, your income is cut in half and you have got a major, major issue, a very easy thing to fix. And the third stage is retirement asset protection. Defend against market volatility. Understand how to do that. And that's another stage that's just, it's going to become more natural as you learn and grow. And you plug into the right kind of education, you're going to see that this stuff is going to make a lot of sense and it's going to be pretty easy to understand. So the other one is longevity of income. Making sure that when you retire, that your money will keep you retired as long as you live. So many people, they don't get good advice that they end up having too small a goal. They don't have the right amount. They retire. And then first thing you know it, they're going back to work. Well, that's not a real exciting thing to do, especially in today's world where everybody's looking for jobs and you're in your 70s or 80s and you're out looking for work. It is not a fun thing to have to do or to put your hat on and get on the bus and head over to your kids' house to live, and they're not going to be excited and neither are you. So that's very, very important to have the right number there. And we're going to talk a lot about that tonight. The other is the legacy, pass wealth on to the next generation. If you're really smart, you can do two things. You pass on wealth and you pass on knowledge. And I think one's just as important as the other, because if you pass on wealth and there is no knowledge, your children won't have that money very long and they will be starting all over again. And that's sort of a pattern that without a really good education happens over and over and over. So where we go from here is we go to our next slide, which really talks about building the financial house. The very first thing you got to do is you got to have an emergency fund. You got to have some cash around, you know, and I always tell people, if you have 3 to 6 months of cash and somebody says, hey, I don't need you anymore, you're okay. You can take your time, look for a new job, those kinds of things. But maybe you want to decide to start your own business one day, you have to have an emergency fund. Protect your income and liabilities, very simple thing, but very, very important to think, what would happen if the house burned down, the car was in an accident, you know, am I covered? What would happen if I, you know, one of the breadwinners in the family, the mom or the dad passed away and left the children destitute? All those things are not hard to take care of, but they're things that have to be taken care of. And the next thing is pay off your bad debt. Bad debt is all the credit card debts and all the debts that are high interest rate debts. And you pay those off so that you would one day you can attack that mortgage and you can have home ownership. Your home normally will inflate in price and your debt will decrease. And that gives you a net worth, which is really amazing if you start to do the numbers on that. The other thing is understanding investments. A lot of people don't understand investments. They're scared to do investments. They really have been scared into leaving their money sit in non-performing investments, which are not going to ever get you to your financial independence number and the goals that you've set up for the dreams for your family. Unless you understand how to get money working for you, you've got to work for money the rest of your life. And so you've got to understand investments. And again, you got to have something set aside so that your children don't have to leave college with this massive debt problem. It's absolutely unbelievable the amount of college debt that's left around, and they're strangling people when they get out of college and they go on to their careers. Wouldn't it be nice to just give your kids the kind of a savings and education plan that you never had? And so that's very important to get started. So we're going to talk about all of these and really other goals and dreams. You've got all sorts of goals and dreams, and we can put them together in a written plan. And a lot of people will say, well, I think I know, and yeah, I think I understand, but they've never written down their goals and dreams. They've never written down their college plans. They've never written down, and they don't track their investments, and they don't track their debt. And so they don't understand what would really happen. And those things are, hey, that's all available through what we call our financial needs analysis. And we're happy to do that. And it's completely free of charge with no obligation. So whoever invited you to this webinar, make sure that they do that for you, because you can have that. Everybody deserves to have a roadmap. And that's what this financial needs analysis is all about. Would you like to know your financial independence number? And the financial independence number came about really because we used to say you've got to have a goal for retirement. And then you've got to make sure that that goal is going to provide you with enough money so that when you retire, you can stay retired for the rest of your life. And a lot of people go like, well, what is a FIN number? We call it the FIN number, F-I-N, the financial independence number. Well, the FIN number is the amount of money you'll need to accumulate so that someday you can live off that money for the rest of your life and never go back to work. And that's really our goal. And we've seen that many, many times over. So you want to retire in 30 years with $100,000 in today's dollars. 30 years from now, after 3% inflation, you need $243,000. So if you said today, well, my wife and I make $50,000 each, we want $100,000 to retire on, we don't want to take a setback, you're going to need $243,000, which means that you're going to have to do some planning, or this is just not going to happen. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, banks and insurance companies, other investment companies, they're really not helping you set your goal and teach you how inflation works and how money works. So your FIN number in this case would have to be about $2.6 million. And you go like, oh no. And if you're not getting a bit depressed and you're listening to this tonight, it's because you really don't grasp that these are just mathematical numbers that you've never seen. Maybe you have seen them, but you know, never instituted a plan. And so we're going to talk a little bit. How do you save 2.6 million? A lot of people are just like, oh man, I could never do that. Yes, you can. To get there, you invest $1,421 a month for 30 years at 9%, you'd have 2.6. So if you're 35 years old, when you're 65, you'd have 2.6 million. Now, a lot of people maybe don't start with 14, but they start with something and then they ratchet it up. As we teach you how to get out of debt, stop overspending, then you're going to have excess cash. You invest that. You will reach your FIN number. If you decide to reach your FIN number, it's like deciding today you're going on vacation and you're going to end up in Florida on the 30th of July. You'll end up in Florida on the 30th of July. It's just the way it works. And if you decide your FIN number is important and that you're going to sell out to it, then you're never going to have to worry, because you're going to always be able to reach that goal. And we will sit down and help you. Anybody can help you with those numbers, but not too many want to, because they're not really interested in you knowing your FIN number. Anybody that's dealing with a traditional institution today, they're interested in keeping the profits. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. And so you're really not going to find just everybody that can set a FIN number, or wants to set a FIN number for that matter. So be on guard, make sure you get the right numbers and that you do get the right kind of education on finance. So let's find out what your FIN number is. And if we went out there today, you know, today, the seeds you sow today will be your harvest tomorrow. There's a famous saying says, don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds you plant. Today, a lot of people, there's two phases to your life. There's the growth and accumulation phase. Then there's that retirement phase. If you're not sowing, you're not going to reap. And, you know, most people have a little bit of an understanding of agriculture, and, you know, it depends on so many things, the weather. Well, the weather's like the markets. You put the seed in, you invest regularly, and you let that money grow. And it's like the weather. You'll get great harvests, sometimes not as much, but overall, it's going to go up and down on the way up, and it'll always deliver for you. And we have seen this deliver for the 32 years we've been here. Many, many, many clients are financially independent, have reached their goal, and many of them have lived off their money they saved for a number of years and are never going to be running short of money again. So the theory of decreasing responsibility is something that this company was built on. We feel like that's an educational process where you need to understand exactly what you got to do. If you understand, then you know, you'll do the right thing for your family. So in the early stages of life, you just got married, maybe, you know, you don't have a lot of money. You've got young children. You've got high debts. You've got house mortgages. A loss of income would be absolutely devastating. So in the early years, the very top line of that theory of decreasing responsibility, you need a lot of insurance coverage. And you know, as you go down through life, you know what? You should be saving some money. And later on, you'd better have money, because at retirement, you've got grown children, lower debts, mortgages are paid. And retirement income is what you need. And you know, a lot of times, if you were saving for your FIN number, which we put on here, and it was that 2.6 million, you would start spending about $200,000 a year, and that money would last as long as you last. And so you need to know how to do that, how to set that. But first of all, let's talk about the cancer that's out there. And most times people don't understand the cancer of money is inflation. So when you talk inflation, very few people understand it, except they can remember back 10, 20 years when in fact they were at the stage where they really were making not much money, but living better than they're living today. That's inflation, because it costs too much. I mean, all of a sudden it costs, you know, $500 to heat your home, or $300 to heat your home. It costs, you know, $1,000 for a car payment. It used to be $300. So this is the kind of stuff, if you had an income of $40,000, just as an example, $3,300 a month, at 2.5% inflation from age 30 to 65, you'd need $94,928 to have exactly the same money, spending power. And, you know, by the time you pay your taxes and you have that, you'd be living no better than you were at age 30 on $40,000. And you'd be almost getting a six-figure income at age 65. Well, do you think the problem goes away at age 65? No, it continues and it only gets worse. And so at a 2.5% inflation, you're going to be at $155,000, $12,000 a month from $3,300 a month at age 30. And, you know, we go 55 years later and boom, here we are at $12,000, $13,000 a month. And you go like, well, why do we know that? Nobody is teaching this, because they don't want you to know that it's just about impossible unless you get good advice on how to become financially independent to make it happen. So then we go and let's say, well, you know, what would a FIN number be then? Our FIN number, we have to figure out. So if you needed 94,000, guess what? You're going to need a FIN number with basically 12, 13 times the annual amount. So let's talk about setting your FIN number. If you were sitting down with somebody today, or you were working it out on your own, you'd say, well, at age 30, if that was my income, at age 65, my income would be 94 at 2.5% inflation. If I was going to set a goal today that would take me from age 65 to age 85 and not run out of money, then how much would my FIN number have to be? Your financial independence number would have to be at least $1,239,000. And that's if you were getting a rate of return of roughly 7% on that money. If you got 7% of $1.29 million, you would be able to draw off of that, and you would never run out of money. And I'll show you that on the next graph, because money is like oxygen. You need it, or you're not going to be around, or you're going to be places you don't want to be. And so let's talk about it. So you need three things to become financially independent. You need time, you need money, and you need a rate of return. Now, if you have a lot of time, you don't need much money. You can have a little bit of money and a small rate of return. But if you're short of time, you need more money and you need a higher rate of return. These are the facts of life. This is just like jumping off a 10-story building. You're not going to go up. You're going to go down. These are the facts of life, and you just get used to them, and you say, okay. So then accumulating your FIN, how do you accumulate your FIN of $1.2 million? If you're out there today and you really want to be financially independent, then let's find out if it's possible. So if you said, well, I got $10,000 today, you know, I saved it up, or my grandmother gave it to me, At 3% for 35 years, the future value of 10,000 at 3% is 28,000. You know, and then if you took and you ran that forward at 70, it's 76,000 at 6%, and at 9% is 204,000. And you go like, well, 204, 1.2, hey, I'm still a million short. And the real deal is that you look at this and you start realizing, hey, I'd sooner have 9 than 3. But if my money's in the bank at 3 and the bank's getting 9, the bank might be getting 18 on your credit card. You can imagine how much they're making, you know, on the credit card at 18%. So the margin, the spread there is why you don't get shown a FIN number ever, because they don't want you to know. So if you're working at a, you know, a low rate of return of 3%, you need to save $1,669 a month to reach your FIN number. If you're working at a 6%, you need $869, just about the price of a new lease on a car. And if you actually get 9%, you need $400 a month. And I don't know about your tax situation, but in Canada and in the United States, there are some ways you can invest and be tax efficient, sometimes deduct that and spend a lot less than $400 to have your FIN number at age 65. So the real deal is, do you want it? You can have it. And then you reach age 65 and you go, okay, what happens now? Well, you start spending $7,910 a month and you go out there, and if you got 9% on your investments, in 20 years at age 85, you'd still have $1.8 million left in your fund. Now, at 7%, you'd have $757,000 left. You'd have lots of money to give to your kids. And if you had a really poor rate of return, 5%, you'd still be quite fine. You'd still have $64,808. That's just how money works. That's like showing you the spending phase. So they got the accumulation phase and the spending phase. It's absolutely amazing what goes on out there. So ask your rep for a complimentary financial needs analysis, a financial plan that's personalized to you. There's no two the same. There's no two people the same with the same goals and the same needs and the same dreams. And it's free of charge. You can calculate your net worth. You can calculate your FIN number, and you can do a debt elimination plan, and you can calculate your insurance needs and more. There's nothing out there that if you ask whoever invited you to this here complimentary seminar to do this for you, that they won't help you with it. And it's absolutely free without an obligation to do business. So you have every right to do that. This is what it looks like. It's a retirement needs analysis, and it will set your FIN number. It will do everything. So I'm going to pass it back to Roy. Roy, take it over.
Hey, thank you, Arlie. And, you know, I sit back and every time I do these, I learn something in the way that we can explain it. And, you know, one thing that Arlie said, and if you're taking notes right now, you want to teach your children, because in teaching your children, that's how you change the family legacy. And I'll tell you a little story about, I don't know, 3 years ago. My mother's 96, and she was getting ready to have her birthday. And there's five generations. She's still living, and there's five generations in our family and living. And so there's, you know, my niece my nephew's got a daughter who's got a daughter that just graduated from high school. And I thought, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna give her a mutual fund. I'm gonna give her a $250 mutual fund so she can set that up for herself. And then I started looking. I went to the graduation party, and I got over there and I saw, our family is just huge. There's five of us, and there's grandkids and great grandkids, five generations, all this kind of stuff. And I said, you know, there's people in my family that don't really understand how to do this. So I made a deal. I told them, I said, well, my mom's birthday is coming up, and we're going to have a family financial workshop. And if you show up to this workshop, I'm going to make a contribution to every one of you, $250 to open a mutual fund up. And so I did that, and I had 27 people show up of my family, and I taught them about money. I mean, nieces, nephews, all that kind of stuff. And so we started doing those kind of things. And so then I told some of my clients about that, and they were like, I'd like to do that. And then they would come in, and I said, well, here's what you got to do. You got to bribe the kids. And so we had one of them come in, and And they had a granddaughter that was 16 years old, and they said, we're going to give you $1,000 to put in your Roth IRA. She'd made some money. And they did that, and we ran that out, and we ran out compound interest all the way out. And so you want to teach your family what's going on. Remember, you cannot avoid investing money. If you have money sitting, you can't not make a decision. It's either a decision to be sitting at low interest rates, or it's a decision to be sitting at a decent interest rate or a high interest rate. Another thing you might want to do is think about what he said. He said, put it on paper. Now, why do you got to put it on paper? Because paper causes you to have confidence. You wake up, you say, man, how good would it feel if I were financially independent, if I really did it? And so you reap what you sow. We talked about that. So put that on there. It's a GPS. Anything you put in, you're going to end up getting it out. And then the last three things that I want you to think about is, if you owned a business, would you want your employees to be lazy or work hard? And that's the way I look at money. Do I want them to be lazy money, or do I want to work hard? And so time, money, rate of return is what it's all about. And so with that, I think I covered it. I hope you're taking notes. With that, Arlie, back to you.
Hey, thank you, Roy. And, you know, it's just, it's phenomenal. It's exciting. It's thrilling to see how many people are hungry for this kind of advice and this kind of education. It's just absolutely thrills me to think that, you know, you and your families will never be broke again. You'll always be able to be financially independent, and financial independence goes generation to generation because you teach your children, and your children then think about money in a different way. And if you think about money in a different way, all of a sudden you don't have to worry, because your children are not going to blow what they inherit, if they inherit anything. And if they don't really see that they're going to inherit much, they can make it on their own. And that is so exciting. So let's go back and share my screen again. And we're going to go through some more options you have now for investing. And we're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, what it is out there that that gives you the advantage of understanding how money works. And we're going to review the Rule of 72. I know we've gone through it a little bit before, but the Rule of 72 is like pi r squared. Everybody learned when they went to school pi r squared. Well, I've never used it since I went to school. It's how to find the area of a circle. Maybe you have if you're in the construction business or you're an engineer, but really, for most of us, we didn't need it. Here we got Rule of 72 and nobody hears of it. You know, we got students coming out of college, and you say, have you heard of the Rule of 72? I'm sure they taught you that in college, and they go, nope. And the Rule of 72 is how you figure out the future value of money. So if you were given $10,000, how much money would that 10 be? If you took 3 divided into 72, how much would that money grow, and how fast would it double? Well, if you divide your interest rate into 72, 24 years at 3%, your money would double. Your 10 would grow when you're if you were born and somebody gave you 10, at age 24, you'd have 20, and at age 48, you'd have 40. Now, a lot of parents sometimes, or grandparents, will give children money. If that was the case and that was you, congratulations, you got $40,000. But if you were educated and you could get double the interest rate and you divide 6 into 72, that goes every 12 years. Your money doubles every 12, goes from 10 to 20 to 40 to 80 to 160. It's not double, it's 4 times as much with a 6% versus a 3%. What is it if you doubled it again? And people say, well, you know, I don't know, 12% pretty hard to get. Well, it is, but it isn't. And if you're in the right places, look at this. You will double every 6 years and you'll have $2.5 million. And okay, maybe you don't get quite that. Maybe you only get $1.5 million instead of 40. You know, maybe you get 500 instead of 40. But I'll take the big number. You know, it's like the boy with the bag of jelly beans. You know, if you held up a small bag of jelly beans, and you held up a big bag of jelly beans, and you get your youngest child or grandchild to pick, they're going to pick the big one. Well, that's how simple it is here. But you got to understand, there is some things you got to do to get it, and it's not difficult, and it's not what we would consider to be risky. We've been watching people earn these kinds of rates of return for a long time. So what we got to do is also pay yourself first and get started soon. When you don't, there's a high cost of waiting. What does it cost to wait? If you're 25 years old, $1,000 monthly savings at 9% for 40 years, you'd have $4.7 million. you say, "Bob, but I'm 25. I want a new car. You know, I want to chase the girls or the boys or whatever it is. So I'm going to wait for a year." And, you know, so you put it off for a year. Well, you don't put in 12,000. You just lost 416,000. Yeah, you say, "Well, I'm only 26. Hey, I want to wait till I'm 30. When 30, we talk to you again. You say, "Well, what did that cost you?" You know, that new car that's depreciated to nothing and chasing around having a good life just cost you 1.7 million. What about if you wait a little longer, 40 years? You know, you wait 15 years till you're 40 years old and you put in 180 less, and guess what? It cost you 3.5 million. Still got 1.1. Better just, you know, the best time to have planted a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. And so if you did, regardless of your age, get started, because you're better to get something working for you so you don't have to work for money the rest of your life. So does that make a lot of sense, where you can just wake up one day and go, "Hey, I got to start, and I got to start now." So become an owner, not a loner. This was always something when I first saw it, I went, "Oh my goodness." It's like rent a house, buy a house. You know, which would you sooner do? Well, if you buy a house, you're forced to get equity. If you get inflation, you'll have more equity, and it's a good thing. But if you rent a house, it doesn't matter how much the house goes up, you're not accumulating any equity, and you're not. So why do people rent their money? Well, they don't know any different. So you've got to bypass the middleman, where most people take their money and they go put it in a bank or a credit union or an insurance company, hysterically low rates, you know, 1, 2%, 3%. And instead of bypass that bank, just go right around the bank and go out into the global economy, and you're going to get those extra special rates like the bank gets. Because what does the bank do with your money? They take your money, they invest it, they give you back the guarantee of 2 or 3%. And that's how you get the 40, they get the 2.5 million. And you go like, "Why are the banks rich?" Well, that's easy to understand. The banks are rich, insurance companies are rich, credit unions are rich, because they understand how money works. The rest of us don't. We're not being educated. And I think the ticket price for this educational seminar is pretty unbelievable when you think about, you can get this education for free. You got to sit at your computer for an hour or two. Every few weeks, you'll get a complete and unbelievable education. So invest with professional management. We, you know, a lot of people say, "Well, you want to bypass the bank, insurance company, that's going to be risky." Well, not if you use a professional. So we usually use what's called a mutual fund. What is a mutual fund? A mutual fund is an opportunity for you, together with many other investors, to pool your money. And how a mutual fund works is you have individual investors. They put their money together into a pool of assets, and it goes out into the global economy. And when the profits are made in the economy, it comes back into the assets, which are shared with the individuals. And that's how a mutual fund works. So all I can say is, hey, it's time to go back to Roy and let Roy, he is a master at talking about this stuff, and he can share with you exactly what you need to go get from this short little seminar.
All right, Arlie, great job. And hey, isn't it fun learning about making money and getting ahead and doing stuff like that? You know, that I've been doing this thing for a long, long time. I started when I was 24, I'm 59, and I'm still excited about that, because I know what it can do for people. I had an email sent to me today from one of my buddies, Dean. Dean, I ended up doing business with Dean about 30 years ago, and he opened up a $50 a month mutual fund, and little did he know it was going to change his life. And he said to me, sent me an email, and he says, "You told me I needed to work 5 more years." And he said, "I did, and I'm quitting. How about that?" And so he's coming in a couple weeks to do that, to talk about, now let's start pulling money out. And he's hit his FIN number. That's what it was all about. So let me give you some ideas. If you make a dollar, you save a dime. How about that? That doesn't sound like that much. I mean, surely you take that one little dime out of that dollar. If you make 10, you save one. That's a good start. If you really start pushing ahead, what will happen is, as your income goes up, you want to keep that spending at a check, and you'll move yourself in a good position. Another little thing, if you're starting out, you're young. I have a 28-year-old daughter who's out in the workforce, and I told her, I said, "Look, what you have to do, you need to realize, you need to get $100,000 saved by the time you're 30. How about that? And if you apply that rule of 72, now how do you go about doing that? Well, if you're married, what do? You live on one income for like 3 years and you save the rest. And then the next thing you know, you put it together. And so what you do is you make a decision. You say, well, I can either spend it or I can save it. Now, let me tell you what you're up against when it comes to that. Amazon says to you, you know, we have this idea. You can spend money worldwide 24 hours a day. We will take it. All right. All you got to do is get your phone out, start spending money. Or you can set up an account where you can say, draft that right into my checking account right now. I'm going home tonight. Rather than spend it, I'm going to save it. Now, the question is, if you spend it, what's going to happen versus saving it? And then one day you'll start accumulating money. And when you start accumulating money, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to say, man, I feel good about this. I can't wait to see my statement, right? That kind of thing. And then one last thing I want to talk about is this whole thing about becoming an owner, not a loaner. Now, I want you to think about this. Yeah, you know, you walk in the bank, and I know you guys have done this. You walk in the bank, and the banker says, hey, could you come here a second? And you're like, what? And the banker looks at you and said, the bank would like to borrow some money from you. Could you loan us some money? And you're like, hold on a second. And then he brings you in the office, and he says, sit behind the desk here. And he said, I need to borrow some money. And you're like, what's going on here? And so the first thing you would say is, you go along with it and you'd say, sure, I'll loan you some money. How much you want? He said, we'll take as little as $100. And so you decide you'll loan them $100. And we do that all the time, guys. We loan them $1,000, loan them $500. It's called a savings account. So anyway, first thing you want to know when you loan money out is you want to know, am I going to get my money back? And the banker says, well, sure, we're FDIC insured in the States. Okay, we guarantee that you'll get that money back. The second thing is, could you tell me how much you're going to get? Well, I'll tell you how it works. If you give $1,000 to us, now we are going to pay you on a savings account 0.1%. So let me think about that. So that means that we're going to give you, let's say 10% would be $100, 1% would be $10, 0.1% would be $1. We're going to give you $1 back at the end of the year at 0.1%. And then what we're going to do is we're going to loan it back to you on a credit card at 18%, or we're going to charge you 180 times to borrow the money back. How about that? It's got to be a better way. Y'all agree with that? Got to be a better way. And so what we do is we show how to bypass the middleman, and rather than loan it to the bank, just own the bank. And that's how mutual funds are. And what mutual funds do and invest these managed accounts, what they do is they go pick the best banks. And then you're on the side of having people loan, and you have a piece of ownership of that bank or whatever great company that's out there. So with that, we're going to continue on. Arlie, you are up. Great job so far, guys. I hope you're learning. I hope you're having a great time.
Hey, thank you, Roy. And hey, that's such a great example. And, you know, we've all had credit cards, didn't pay them off every month. We've all gone and had savings accounts and really didn't know how to put the numbers to it. You know, if you got, educated on how to do that, you would never have that money sitting there and be paying on a credit card. But we do, because we're consumers, both Canada and North America. We all think the same, you know, let's get it now and pay for it later. And we damage ourselves. And so this is hopefully going to help you wake up your senses to go, no more am I going to let the bank take advantage of me. And so this is pretty amazing. Let's share my screen again, and let's go through a few more slides and talk a little more about how to win the money game and how to be on the offense. And when you get out on the offense, this is fun stuff, man. And we're gonna really go out there. So what are the spectrum of mutual funds and the risk? You know, risk reward, what are they? And so you can have several different kinds of funds. You can have aggressive funds, and the volatility in aggressive fund can be quite severe. You can have international growth funds. You can have regular growth funds. You know, you can have growth and income funds. You can have balanced funds, and you can have high yield bond funds. And, you know, you could have corporate bond funds, or you could have municipal bond funds, which might have a tax advantage, and you could have government bond funds, and you could have money market funds. And so these are all, and a lot of people say, well, which would be best? Well, it all depends on your age. And as you start to set up accounts and deposit into these accounts, if you're dollar cost averaging in, which we're going to talk about, you can become a little more aggressive. And if you've got more years, it all just is a matter of saying, okay, what's your risk tolerance and what would I be happy with? And, you know, you can change that and you can move this money from fund to fund if you so desire, that maybe you're in a balanced fund and you wish you were in a growth, or you're in a series of them or portfolio of them. You know, these are things. So mutual funds earn money three different ways. They earn money through dividends. Because you own companies, the companies pay dividends, they flow through to the investor. You get capital gains. You own company shares, the shares go up, they sell them, you get a capital gain, then you get the distributions from that profit. They have capital appreciation where they haven't sold the shares, like maybe Amazon or some of those companies that they bought maybe at $100, they're trading at $1,000, and they haven't capitalized on it yet. So you're showing as this really nice growth, and you really haven't had any distributions of income, and you've had some tax advantages. Should any of these be earned, they may be subject to taxation, and we can talk about that. There's ways where you can minimize taxation. Also note the value of fund can fluctuate. I mean, funds go up and down, and usually have always in history gone up over time, but they can go down. So up and down on the way up is what we usually say, and there's five great reasons to own a mutual fund. Professional money management. There tends to have to be a little separation between you and the decisions, because the number one enemy of growth and profits is human behavior. If you can control the behavior, and if you give your money to a professional and you leave it alone, you're going to be the best off over a period of time if you have a professional money manager. Diversification of assets. A lot of times you can be in a lot of different industries, and that's one of the ways to get some safety. So you're not just in the oil industry, you're in the retail, you're in the banking, you're in the insurance, you're in a lot of industries. That's how you diversify as you start to grow a portfolio. Growth potential is always a lot better if you've got a mutual fund that's got growth companies in them. Affordability. Everybody can start with as little as $25 a month. And a lot of young folks go like, yeah, I don't have any money. I'll wait till I get. Don't wait. Get in the habit and the pattern of saving money every single month. If you do, you can well afford a mutual fund and you can start immediately. Liquidity. Mutual funds are not guaranteed against the loss. Mutual funds also have a cost and fees that are attributed to management and distribution, but they are liquid. If you want your money from a mutual fund, you would have it in a few days. And that's always been the case. And so it's one of the better ways for average folks like you and me to go out there and feel good about the fact that we are getting financially free, and we're having the best sort of professional managers, and we've got the best shot at being able to have our money grow and retire financially independent. So the three D's of investing are really quite simple. A good way to keep your focus on your goals is to remember the three D's of investing, which is dollar cost averaging. And we'll talk a little bit about that, because that is miraculous. If you were investing month by month the last few months, you would have picked up some pretty great value. Discipline, do it all the time. Don't wait until you accumulate. Get it going out the same as you would be paying Amazon. Get it drafted out of your account. And every single month you're investing. Diversification, make sure that you are going into positions you're comfortable with, but they're diversified, so no one industry is going to hurt your investments. So let's talk about dollar cost averaging or systematic investing. Let's say that you, investor A, said, I want $100 a month in a rising market. So you start out and you buy $100 a month and you go and invest it for 6 months. And you go, oh, that's pretty great. The market has done nothing but go up every single month. And you got to go, wow, that is really awesome. That is, man, I am making money, nothing. And you look at your statement every single month and you're growing. Now, you take investor B, they got $100 a month going in, and they look at their statement and it went down. It went down on month one. It went down on month two. It might have gone down a month, three or four. And then it almost recovered to where it was to start with at $10 a share. And you go like, oh, I'm sick. But at the end of the day, this is what people don't understand, is that you will make more money as investor B. And let's just take a look at it. You know, which example do you want? And when you take a look at it, the investor B made more money. So if you take a look at investing near the market highs, everybody goes, oh, I got to time the market. No, you can't time the market. Generally, it's not timing the market. It's time in the markets. And if you took a look at investing near the absolute market highs from December 1998, and you put exactly the same money in on the left-hand side, invest near the market highs, versus on the right-hand side, invest near market lows, you picked the best date to invest in every one of those years because you were such a genius. You knew exactly when to do that. What would the difference be at the end of the day? Well, if you picked the exact worst day, you'd have a 9% return through that whole period to 2017, and you would have invested $200,000 and you'd have $460,000. You'd still have done very well at 9%. If you were the absolute genius and could pick the worst and the best day, and you decided, I'm going to just get the best day to invest, which is market lows every single year. We took the market lows from every single year through 98 to 2017, invested the same money, and we ended up with a little better return, $566,000, 10.45. The average investor earned 2.6% if you were lucky enough to pick the market low every single time. Impossible, never happened in the history of the world. Nobody's ever done this, but this is taking history and saying, what would the difference be? I would sooner just invest. You will never hit the highs. You will never hit the lows. I would invest every single day that you've got money to invest. I would get it in there and I would average it out over the next 10, 20, 30 years. You'll be completely financially independent. The markets will always be fine. Behavior is the number one reason people fail at becoming financially independent. You set the goal, you stick with the goal, you discipline your investing habits, and you will become financially independent. The markets have never let us down, and they likely never will as long as we have a free enterprise world out there. So diversification is another thing that you can talk about. Diversification is a time-tested principle. And here we've got, you know, the small cap stocks, and we've got international stocks and large stocks and, you know, government bonds and 30-day T-bills. And you go like, well, when should I buy what? Well, it's impossible to know. And if you took the blue ones and you went across, well, international stocks were pretty good until 2009. And then international stocks went down near the bottom since then. Well, what about small caps? Well, they weren't very good, but now they're good. Well, what about government bonds? Well, government bonds were a few years were up at the top. Well, you just can't jump around. You got to diversify. Although diversification does not assure a profit, it protects against major losses. Diversification can help spread out the risk in your portfolio. This chart just shows the returns in different asset classes and how it varies from year to year. Right now, 2017, if you look there, yes, we don't have the numbers for 18, 19, but you can see what we're talking about. And so you just have to have a plan and you have to stick with it and you will come ahead every single time. So what is the real asset mix? And I'm gonna throw it back to Roy and let him sort of recap what we're just talking about.
Hey, great job, Arlie. And man, we're covering a lot. Guys, one of the things you need to know every week when you tune in, next week, we're going to do a brief recap of this week. And so we did that last week, and then we had the holiday weekend. And so we actually had it ran through it twice. But I wanted to cover just a couple things. You know, I had a client of mine this week call me and been investing money, and they opened up two college plans. And they've got like a three-year-old and a seven-year-old. And they said, look, I don't have a lot of money. And they put in $750 a piece and $50 a month. And I say that to you because, you know, the most important thing is to get started. That's the number one thing. And like Arlie talked about, you can open a mutual fund for $25 or $50 a month, less than what it would be at the bank. I had a question I saw in there. What funds should I buy? Okay. And let me kind of give you an idea. When we talk about bonds are loans. That means companies borrow money. They call it a corporate bond. Government borrows money. It's called a government bond. A municipal bond is a tax-free, a municipality borrows money. But the bottom line is, it's on the side of loaning your money. Now, why do you loan your money? Well, you're going to keep some conservative money as you get older. And that's when we come in and we say, well, that's a balance fund. So how do these things work? We got the bonds, which are loans. They pay interest. They're more conservative. Then we have on the other side, the own. Okay. And when we own, we have growth funds. We have, those are funds that, you know, maybe you would buy, it would be like Starbucks as an example. The goal is you buy that stock and it goes up, and then you have growth and income. That's some that pay dividends. And I always relate, when you're buying mutual funds, you buy mutual funds, there's different types. You buy an international fund, for instance, they only invest outside the U.S. You buy a global fund, they invest in the U.S. and outside the U.S. And so a lot of times we don't realize that we're actually putting money in international funds. We buy Johnson & Johnson, that's British, and Nestle is Swiss, and French's mustard, right? We use all that. And we know about Mercedes and things of that nature. So one of the things that we tell people is you're always going to have a little bit of the international in there. And then we have the aggressive. Those are the Googles of tomorrow. And so I don't know how to pick all that stuff. And that's why we hire a fund manager. And those fund managers, they go out and they pick those, and that's how they go about doing it. And if you're trying to figure out how mutual funds make money, it's very similar to buying a piece of rental property. You buy a rental property, and as you're putting money in there, you buy that house, and the house goes up in value. Then, in addition to that, all right, it pays some rent out, all right? And then what happens is one day you sell it, and you get what's called a capital gain, and that's where you gained on the investment. That's what happens when you buy mutual funds. You get paid three ways. You get, you know, growth, you've got dividends, and then you got capital appreciation. All right, let me see what else we got. So, one of the things Arlie said was you got to manage behavior, okay? So when we talk about managing behavior, that's where a coach comes in, all right? So we come in with a coach. And Arlie, if you want to pull these last two slides up, I'm going to walk people through that. Guys, we got so much stuff to cover. I mean, we're going to go through this stuff. Can you imagine you got five more weeks of this? If you'll take me to the next slide. I want to kind of walk you through what's coming up next. And first off, thank you for attending. And we say this, but we recognize that, you know, you could do business with anybody in the world. And we appreciate you attending. And hopefully tonight you saw something that was good, and that you appreciate the education. And so we can help you. If you saw something tonight, you said, man, I need to get started. I need to do some of that kind of stuff. Go ahead and let's hit those slides there, Arlie. What's going to happen is if you need help, get with a person that sent you that link. That will allow you to be able to set a time. They can help you with all this kind of stuff and help get your PIN number in place. If you know a family member, you want to make sure and refer them. Ask for that link. And they can refer you to that. And then also, if you want replays, you need to get with that person that invited you, and they will send you a replay link. And that replay link will give you all the way back to, I guess, for the last 6 weeks, you'll be able to do that. So you want to get that replay link from them, and what they will do is be able to get all that to you. So here's how this thing ends up. Guys, we're going to take a short break. For some of you, you may have said, man, this was great. I love learning. You know, one of the things that we're doing is we're expanding our business all over the North America. And how are we doing that? We're finding people that they may, you know, we got the crisis among people and their jobs and things like that. We've got people all over the country right now saying, you know, I want to have something I could do from home. I want to be able to help people. I want to do something good. And so in just a few minutes, in how many minutes? In about 4.5 minutes, Arlie and I are going to talk to you about the business side. If you saw something tonight, you said, I like helping people, I'd like to find out more, just shoot a text over and say, hey, I want to get on that, join the team night. And we're going to walk you through how you could do this as a spare time extra. Maybe you're in a situation now where you know your work is kind of iffy. Now, this might be a way where you can add 30% and pick up, you know, something different by doing something on the side. And so we'll teach you. That's how both of us got started. So with that, guys, thank you for attending. We'll be tuning in about 4 minutes. We'll be back up. Earl and I will be covering the next step. And be sure and be back with us next week. Once again, thanks for attending.